Hello, everyone. I'm the Toring, and I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Lore of the Apocalypse. On this show, I'm going to explore the lore of Werewolf the Apocalypse. With version 5 of Werewolf and a couple of official video games all right around the corner, I thought it was a great time to refresh my memory on over 2 decades of lore while inviting others along for the ride. If you like what I'm doing or have any questions, feel free to hit me up on either Twitter or Patreon, both of which I'm the_Toring, and that's TOERING. That's enough for me. Let's get to it. Welcome back, young one. Join me by the fire, won't you? I'm sure that you have a lot of questions for the old man, but I'm going to ask you to hold off on asking them for now. Last time we talked, I explained a little bit about what it means to be a Garu, but that was really just scratching the surface. Tonight we're going to dig a little bit deeper. That means we're going to have a lot to cover and not much time to do it, for the apocalypse is upon us. Gaia is dying, and you may be the only hope we have left, so pay attention as I start from the beginning. Before there was anything, there was nothing. Within that dark nothing, something stirred, and from within it came the 3 great forces that together are known as the Triad. This trio, working together in harmony, created the world as we know it. The first of these forces we call the Wild, and it is the fount of pure creation and chaos, spewing matter, energy, and a multitude of things without names into the void with no reason or structure. The second great force is called the Weaver, and it imposed order on those creations, as it is the very essence of order and stasis. The Weaver takes the matter and chaos that the Wild produces and gives it form and function, preserving them. The third and final force we call the Worm. It's a force of destruction and renewal focused on balancing the Wild's dynamic creation and the Weaver's static order. The Worm keeps the mass of the Wild's creations from overwhelming the cosmos and prevents the Weaver's lifeless perfection from growing too large or inflexible. In this way, the 3 maintained a balance and were known as Uncle Change, Aunt Spider, and the Keeper of Balance. All 3 members of the Triad existed to perform their unique functions, and the cosmos continued in a unified circle of life, expressing itself over and over in an infinite cycle of change. As an example of this, think about the building of a shelter. The Wild produces mud, straw, and water. The Weaver inspires man to combine these things with heat and produce adobe with which to build. The Worm eventually causes these materials to decay and fail, thus throwing up the small part of existence that was a mud hut to be filled up again with a new creation of the Wild. All of this, however, changed long, long ago as the Weaver became conscious. Suddenly it was no longer a single-minded piece in a balanced 3-part equation. It was an entity with goals and desires of its own. With this newly discovered consciousness, the Weaver sought meaning and purpose for the structures it had created, upset that the things it had worked so hard to create were being destroyed by the Worm. The Weaver captured it within its web. No matter how hard or fast the Worm worked to destroy its prison, the now much more powerful Weaver was able to maintain its hold on its sibling. Trapped and unable to perform its function of balancing the Wild and Weaver, the Worm was driven mad. Wrapped up in the Weaver's web, frantic to escape, the Worm lashed out in an explosion of destruction, only to find that the Weaver's web contained a large portion of it. Over the millennia that followed, the Worm has learned that it cannot consume as it once did. Instead of devouring things whole, it must twist and bend the Weaver's webs, using them to spread corruption. Instead of destroying things outright, it now infects a victim, causing it to corrupt those around it before eventually destroying itself. Acting in this way, the worm has found an increasing number of ways to cause living things to act on its behalf. While entropy, death, and destruction have been parts of the natural world for eons, corruption is new, and with it comes new and strange phenomena. Parasites, diseases, and toxins like the world has never seen, causing destruction on both a physical and a spiritual level. If we go back to our example of the hut, the weaver's mad attempt to keep its structure from falling apart has now inspired the creation of concrete, plastics, and other things which are harder for the worm to destroy, thus leading the trapped and insane worm to create corrupting chemicals and radiation that cause cancer to spread. At this point, you may be asking how you and I fit into this story. Well, in order to do that, we need to go back to the darkness from which the triad sprang. Some say that within that darkness was Gaia, a celestial spirit with nearly godlike powers, that she created the triad so that they could create a body for her, while others say that Gaia was in fact created by the wild. I'll leave it up to you to determine what you believe is true. But I will say that Gaia is the Earth Mother, the source of all life, and the very soul of the planet upon which we sit right now. Gaia, however, is much more than just the physical and spiritual worlds. She's also our creator. Where the Weaver influences man to implement his plans, Gaia created us. We are the Garu, and Gaia created us to defend herself from the madness of the Weaver and the corruption of the Worm. We are the chosen warriors of the Earth, fighting a war with varying degrees of success since before time has been recorded. You'll remember that I said Gaia, the soul of the world, is dying earlier. You may even be asking yourself how that is possible when she has such stalwart protection as the Garu. The answer to that falls into that varying successes I mentioned, but those are tales for another night. For now, just remember that in the beginning there was the Triad, from which Gaia sprung, and it is our job to protect her, and by extension, restore balance to the cosmos. I think that's about enough for your first full lesson. Next time I'll go a little bit more in depth into what it means to be a Garu. Why don't you just tuck in for the night? Sleep tight and don't let the worm bite. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's it for this week of Lore of the Apocalypse. But I do want to give a special shout-out to Bambi Parson, my first patron. Without you, the battle for Gaia would be lost.